Good morning, Co-Church family. It's great to have you with us again in the living room. And those that are visiting with us, welcome as well. Today I'm sharing the first of a two-part series called Setting Up the Last Days. I'm really excited about this message. Notice I'm not saying this is the last of the last days or the end of the world or the sky is falling. It's not scaremongering. In fact, this should be the very opposite. Paul, in one of his letters, was addressing some fear and misunderstandings about the last days even back then. And after he had shared about these things, he concluded by saying this in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Other translations use even stronger words instead of comfort, like being assured or encourage one another. This is totally the view I come from with any discussion on teaching about the last days and prophecy. However, it's plain for all to see that the world is going to be very different after this pandemic. It's setting up for a big event, big events in these last days. When they'll be, no one can predict. However, the New Testament is full of words like the second coming, the day, last days, and others that prophesy of a time yet to come. God would have us be wise Christians and not foolish ones like the parable of the 10 virgins. In the book of Matthew 25:1-13, Jesus says, concerning their insight and their preparedness as being either wise or foolish. This is about being in the wise side of the equation. It's preparing ourselves. It's having understanding of the times. Also, I'm aware that Christians have many views or perhaps no view about the last days. I do hold certain views, interpretations of the scriptures about what we call eschatology or the study of end times. However, this mini-series is more about identifying some signs that perhaps are lining up with the scripture. Up until a few months ago, the world was very much in a status quo compared to now. However, it's very different. It's like removing a layer of sand after a huge storm. I know going down the beach, you see the beach how it is, but then a storm comes and it takes away the sand and you see things that were there but not seen before. So the end times that we're in right now is like that. We're seeing layers that we didn't see before. God had prophesied them, but now we can see them more clearly. This is what I want to address. So the end time stage setting so far. Number one, it's like this. The word coronavirus doesn't appear in the Bible. However, coronavirus as a disease is one of the general signs Jesus said to look for, and it sets the stage for the rapture of the church and the arrival of the tribulation. In other words, it sets up the stage. When asked to describe the signs of his coming, Jesus called pandemics, just like the one that we're experiencing now, as a major sign. In Luke 21:10-11, he said this, "Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there'll be fearful sights and great signs from the heaven." I believe we're seeing these things, and particularly in the nations. But this wasn't the only sign he said to look for. Listen to this amazing list. He said to look for the Jewish people coming back to the land of Israel. In Jeremiah 23:7-8, the Jewish people once again in possession of Jerusalem. In Luke 21:24-28, and to look for the gospel being preached to the ends of the earth. In Matthew 24:14, we see this now through technology and people in all places. The Old Testament prophets also said to look for signs. They said to look for a time when travel and knowledge would increase. In Daniel 12:4. A time when Israel has an exceedingly great army in Ezekiel 37:10. The rise of Gog and Magog, the alliance, in Ezekiel 38:39. There'll be more on that next week. And the rise of the revived Roman Empire in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, in Revelation 17. the rise of global government in Revelation 13:7, and the rise of a single global currency system in Revelations chapter 13, 16 to 17. We see all these signs today, and Jesus commands us to watch for them. He warned us not to be found sleeping when the master arrives without warning. In Mark 13, 36, the coronavirus is God's wake-up call to those who have been sleeping. Make sure that you're not asleep. Number two, my point today is the calls for increased tracking of people with shutdowns all over the world. We're seeing this. This global economy is at a standstill, and calls are being made louder to reopen the economy and get people back to work. But how do you get people back to work without causing a spike in the new coronavirus cases? Some people are pushing a solution that involves increased tracking of people. When someone gets the coronavirus, the government can easily retrace their steps and find everyone who came within a few feet of the infected person. This isn't surprising. Politicians, leaders around the world take advantage of times of turmoil and disaster and fear to implement changes people would otherwise wouldn't accept. I'll give you an example. I was in a foreign country some time ago, and I said to the driver, "Wow, there's so many toll booth cameras. It must cost a fortune." He said, "No, they're not toll cameras. They're tracking cameras." You might be able to guess what country that was. This, again, is more of the sign of setting up in reference to Revelation 13 and 17, when no one can buy or sell without a certain mark. We are no way at that point of worldwide acceptance of the mark, but this pandemic has given this possibility a quantum leap forward. I believe our Australian government has the best of intentions with its current tracking app. The willingness of so many people to straight up accept this as the new okay is surprising in some ways, but not when you look at where this leads. And to get to the end game of Revelation 13, there has to be certain stages of implementation. A bigger worldwide catastrophic pandemic, even bigger than this one, would take this even closer. You can see how what is happening is like a warm-up. It's like a dress rehearsal. Am I fearful about this? Not one bit, because my confidence is in my Lord Jesus Christ, and He has my life and times in His hands. This is the blessing of being a Christian. And number three, there's calls for a strong European Union leader. As at this point, the coronavirus has hit the United States harder than any other nation. However, if you count Western Europe, European Union, as a single nation and add up the case total and fatalities of all its member nations, the stats are more comparable. Early on, EU leaders and many individual nations pushed back on the idea of closing borders. This allowed early infections in Italy to spread all over the continental Europe. Many believe this could have been avoided with a strong executive leadership. The USA has the advantage of being governed with a president with centralized authority. A single European leader could have closed borders and instituted a shutdown much earlier. Instead, each individual nation enacted its own policies. When the coronavirus pandemic ends, many will point to the EU's leadership failure and use it as an excuse to push for the creation of a strong executive office to head the EU. This is the position of many prophecy experts. They believe the Antichrist will hold the final place in the prophetic reference to this. In Daniel chapter 2 and 7, where two dreams were interpreted by Daniel. If it is, he will likely take charge of a more unified and powerful EU. Why? Because the coronavirus will likely lead to further unification of the EU. And point number four today, there's calls for further European Union integration. The coronavirus has devastated Italy, the fourth largest economy in the European Union and the eighth largest in the world. The Italian economy has effectively been closed since March 9th. Like other EU countries, Italy uses the euro, and that means their national debt is in euros. The only way Italy can pay its debt is to collect taxes. If the economy tanks, so does tax collection. And like the Greek debt crisis in 2010, it was catastrophic and it still is a problem. Debt struggling individual EU nations may trigger a now possible action seen by many as national takeovers, previously unthought of, that is, to share their debt. In other words, the creation of a United States of Europe. This is probably inevitable, and it could create the final world empire given in Daniel 2 and 7. This is exactly happening now? Not quite. But the stage is just set that bit more, and we haven't seen the end of the pandemic and how countries will come out the other side of this. So in conclusion today, friends, yes, we're in really interesting days, fearful days for some, but it doesn't need to be our response at all. It's not exactly the last days or the last of the last days, but for those who have been following Bible prophecy their whole lives, this global shaking has shaken loose some constraints that would have taken decades to do. Imagine even more catastrophic, and the leaps to the final plan of God will be very quick. So next week in part two, we'll be looking at replacing the paper currency of the world and what this means, and also the Middle East, Russia, and oil. This is very exciting. And the final scripture is 2 Peter 3:8 to 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, church, today, I want to encourage you concerning your relationship with God. This is the time to press into him, to come back to him. If you're a prodigal son or daughter and you're searching and wondering, this is the time to reaffirm your faith with God. I know that there are people out there that are searching afresh, and God is going to use these times to bring people back into the kingdom of God. So I just want to pray with you now that God will touch you where you're at and that you'll find Jesus. And if you say this prayer, if you call out to him, please contact us on our webpage so we can further encourage you. Say this: Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin. On the third day he rose from the dead. And I believe he's alive today. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me born again. Jesus, I give you my life from this day forward and to eternity. Amen. Amen. That's the beginning of a lifelong, eternal journey with God. So I want to encourage your church to get involved in what's happening in the life of the church this week, and also get into the soaps. They're dealing with scriptures about end times, last days. And these are so important because they sharpen us in our relationship with God. They keep us busy, occupying until he comes, whenever that is, and getting about the Father's business and being alert to know that actually the time is short. We have to have that sense of urgency so that we can reach out to others and lead them to Christ. Be a blessing. Let the light shine. And again, our approach is not one of fear, but one of this is amazing, because we see scriptures, we see the Bible coming to pass in these days like never before. It's like things have sped up concerning the end times. When I talk about the Middle East and Russia and oil next week, you're going to see some very interesting things unfolding. In fact, it'll be in 2 weeks' time. This month of May, we have a smorgasbord of ministry. Next week, of course, is Mother's Day, and with Kim and a panel, it'll be very, very interesting. Then my session again on setting the stage of the end times. Then we have Pastor Cody bring a message. And to finish out the month, we have a guest ministry in Scott Hansey. It's Pentecost Sunday, the last Sunday in May. And Scott Hansey is one of the most Holy Ghost attuned ministers I know. And he's going to minister for us like Cole Stringer did. We're going to pre-record him and have him linked into what we're doing. So church, there's so much to look forward to. I just pray that during this time, you'll find different ways, creative ways, to press into God and to reach out to other people. So church, be blessed, have a great week, and tune in through the week to the various things we have on, and also in the living room next Sunday, Mother's Day. Hey church, just want to share a scripture with you. In 3 John verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That is such a complete scripture and so relevant to where we're at today. It talks about essentially mental health, our soul prospering. It talks about us being in health generally. And it talks about blessing and prosperity upon our lives. You know, God is interested in us holistically. And I want to thank you, church, for your continued faithfulness and giving. Thank you for those that are going online and finding various ways to give. Some people are even popping up to the church during business hours. And so I just thank you for that. But above everything, let this scripture be applicable to you, to your world, your family, your household, your business. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Meditate on this. Very powerful. Bless you.